The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Okay, we're back with another episode of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. This is Elizabeth Larkin, and I'm here with Gene Marks, our small business
expert.
Guru.
Right.
This week, we're going to be talking about open floor plans and managing work hours when you have employees working all over the place. But something I wanted to talk about before we start is I just saw a survey that only 25% of small business owners who are on Facebook are advertising on Facebook, which to me, it's so cheap. It's so budget-friendly to advertise on Facebook.
It is.
You advertise on Facebook.
I do.
You sell CRMs.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, we get, I advertise on Facebook. It costs me, we talked on another podcast about generating data. It costs me about $20 a lead is what is now calculating out on Facebook, which to me is huge. Like, I mean, like, great, fantastic. Yeah. Like, I would, $20 for a lead is, to me, is great. Now, some companies can sell. They're, again, if you've got Facebook Messenger and you want to advertise, you can, people can buy stuff, right on Facebook. So it's not just leads, but it's actually customers. The biggest reason why a lot of people don't advertise on Facebook is because they don't know how. They're intimidated by it. They're uneducated, like me. It's all me.
Yeah.
I'm uneducated, naive, ignorant about the process, and don't even know where to start. And advertising on Facebook, the cost is really not the cost of Facebook advertising. The cost is probably hiring somebody to help you do it.
So I think another issue is that a lot of businesses think that it's a B2C play, but it can be a B2B play.
It can be. And that's interesting because, and again, we've talked previously about, like, I think it mostly is a B2C. I really do. I mean, I do think that most of the people that are on there are consumers. So if you are running, like, a pet store or a clothing shop or something where you've got customers out there that are B2C, that I think that it's a, you have a better chance.
Yeah.
I don't sell my products on it. I'm selling white papers and events.
Yes.
So it's more B2B. If you're interested in this type of software, click here to download a white paper and I get your information that way. That to me is a lead, you know? So those are, those are things. The other thing is that Facebook has programs that a lot of business owners don't even know about, like the lookalike program, for example. In Facebook's lookalike, you can actually take your, like, a list of customers that, and their names and their email addresses, upload it to Facebook. Facebook will match those customers, right, with other Facebook users that have similar profiles and likes and characteristics, hence the lookalike. And then if you place an ad, you can advertise to those, to that lookalike audience. So again, and I know we have a passion about talking about dogs and pets, but if you are a pet store owner and you upload a list of your pet store customers because you've collected their names and email addresses, well, naturally they've got in their profiles they're a dog lover or, you know, there's the pictures of dogs or cats or whatever. Facebook's algorithm will match that with other dog lovers and cat lovers. And clearly, if you're a dog or a cat lover, you're going to be in need of pet products. So then when you place an ad, the ad will then go and towards those that match your lookalike audience. And those are, like, more potential people that will buy from you than just throwing out an ad blind into Facebook. So Facebook's advertising tools can be really powerful.
They really are. And you can find for B2B customers, you can find those people on Facebook. Their targeting is crazy effective. So I would recommend for a small business owner, if you just want to dip your toe in, maybe put 20% of your marketing budget for the next quarter into Facebook ads. If you don't have the money to hire someone to do this, there are tons of tutorials online. I mean, maybe you don't want to take up your time doing that. Maybe you could delegate this to one of your employees, or you do it yourself, whatever. But there's tons of tutorials. It's really not that hard to do, and just dip your toe into it. You'll be amazed at how much targeting you can do. I did an ad. My boyfriend's family owns a Christmas tree farm. They do no advertising. I did an ad one year on Facebook. We spent $50, and they sold three times as many trees as they had
That's
before.
That's incredible.
I targeted it to 10 miles of this Christmas tree farm to people who had listed that they were interested in Christmas. Not even one of their interests, but they were just talking about Christmas. And
so they're just interested in Christmas.
Yeah,
right?
They're just interested in
Christmas.
Makes
me laugh because it's like, who's not, other than if you're Jewish? I mean, like, who is not interested in Christmas? Yeah, you know? Everybody is, right?
I know. And we put up an ad, like a picture of a tree, and it just said fresh local trees from the quiet corner, which is where the tree farm is, and three times as
That's
many trees
awesome.
For $50.
That's awesome.
So that was completely worth it because he sells the trees for $30 each. He did give a discount, too. There was, if you mentioned Facebook, you got like $5
okay,
off or something.
Okay, that's cool. That's great. That's great.
It was successful. So
I like that.
Maybe dip your toe into some Facebook advertising. And we will be right back with our first question about open office plans after a word from our sponsor.
The Small Biz Ahead podcast is brought to you by the Business Owner's Playbook. Whether you're a seasoned small business owner or just starting out, the Business Owner's Playbook is your go-to destination for how to run your business. From business plan templates to advice on managing employees, the Business Owner's Playbook features up-to-date, sound advice on running your business.
And we're back with question number one. This is from James in New Mexico. James writes, I just signed a 2-year lease for a new office space, but now I'm really starting to regret it. It's an open floor plan, which I thought would boost communication and productivity among my team, but everyone seems to find it really annoying. In other words, they find each other really annoying. They're always wearing headphones, and I get the sense that there's a lot less communication happening. Is there a way to fix it?
Elizabeth, you're a huge fan of open floor plans, aren't you? You love the idea.
I did. So I work in an open floor plan, and I...
Come on.
Cannot stand it. I did a lot of research for you on this. And here's something from The New Yorker. Quote, in 2011, the organizational psychologist Matthew Davis reviewed more than 100 studies about office environments. He found that though open offices often fostered a symbolic sense of organizational mission, making employees feel like part of a more laid-back, innovative enterprise, they were damaging to the workers' attention spans, productivity, creative thinking, and satisfaction.
So you were right all the time, huh?
Your
hatred and distrust of open floor plans have been vindicated by this study.
Compared with standard offices, employees experienced more uncontrolled interactions, higher levels of stress, lower levels of concentration and motivation.
Gracious.
So basically, open office plans are terrible for your business. And the article goes on. I'm just going to share a little bit more from this because I feel like it really, it proves my point here. Psychologically, the repercussions of open offices are relatively straightforward. Physical barriers, so think of a physical barrier as a cube, have been closely linked to psychological privacy, and a sense of privacy boosts job performance. Open offices also remove an element of control, which can lead to feelings of helplessness.
Hmm.
In a 2005 study that looked at organizations ranging from a Midwest auto supplier to a Southwest telecom firm, researchers found that the ability to control the environment had a significant effect on team cohesion and satisfaction.
Hmm.
When workers couldn't change the way that things looked, adjust the lighting and temperature, or choose how to conduct meetings, spirits plummeted. So open offices, what they're saying here is that they really rob people of their sense of control. Like when people come into work, they want some autonomy. They want to have their space so they can do their work. They can think creatively. They can concentrate. They don't want to have to share a space with everyone.
Hmm.
And I think a lot of times we think of like a new startup venture and everyone's crammed into one room, but there's actually a lot of large corporations doing this now. They want to save on real estate costs.
Right.
And they think, again, like the article says, it looks great. It sends a message that, oh, we're an open, laid-back organization, but it's terrible for working. So, Gene, I'm going to let you weigh in on this. And then I actually researched some things you could do to fix this in the before you get out of your
lease. No, you know, I'm not even going to weigh in because I agree 100% with what you said. I don't understand, you know, as we know, and for listeners of the show know that, I mean, I don't have an office anymore. So I have no open office environment. But we do, I visit a lot of clients, particularly larger corporations, actually, that have open office environments. And I like look around and be like, I don't know how these people do this. I mean, you just, I go out of my mind if I was like sitting there at my desk and I was staring at some other guy's mug all day in my face and listening to the people around me. And, you know, you just, I don't know, like I just, you know, you want a sense of yourself and of your own little space to do your work in. And you've got people like in your face the entire day would drive me out of my mind.
Yeah, I think it is actually slowly driving some of my coworkers crazy. But back to James' problem, he's saying that he sees people wearing headphones more often and he thinks there's actually a lot less communication happening. Mm. I can guarantee that because I know in my situation, a lot of times if I was in a cube, I would just walk over to a coworker's cube and I would have a one-on-one conversation with them. But now if I do that, 18 different people stand up and try to get in on the conversation.
That's so the worst, yeah.
It's like, it really doesn't foster more communication. Instead, I just probably
fosters
don't.
More lack of productivity, yeah, doesn't it?
It really does. Mm. Another thing that happens is my whole team sits together. We'll all get the same email. I'll be writing or editing, and someone will come over to my desk to discuss the email with me.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking at my email right now.
Oh, right.
I'm writing. I'm editing.
Right.
So I did research some ways to stop noise in your office. I don't want to make James feel too bad. It does sound like a good idea to have an open office space. A lot of companies do it. It's just I think you should go with your gut here.
Yeah.
You can buy room dividers, and there's also ways to stop noise. Like you can really muffle the noise so people feel like they have more of a sense of control over their space. And I'm going to link that in the show notes. Yeah, that's one thing problem you don't have with a remote office.
I don't, and again, and you know what's one thing, rest assured, is it changes every 10 years. There's, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I've been through enough offices that like over a period of time, the feng shui of offices and office design and whatever is new, it changes. Right now, we're in an open office environment. I guarantee you 10 years from now, it'll be something completely different.
That's for sure, definitely. So tips for employees. I think definitely encourage headphone use. I use something called brown noise, which is like white noise, but it's more soothing.
Okay.
And you can find that on YouTube. Just Google brown noise.
All right.
And I think you need to have some ground rules with your employees. And one of them, my favorite that I learned from Tina Fey, said this about improv. Don't enter a conversation until you're invited into it. Sometimes if you have an open office space, you might have a question for one coworker. You go over to that coworker, you ask the question, other people hear the question, they all jump in. Don't jump in, like, unless someone invites you into that conversation, don't jump into that conversation. Like, just let people have their conversations. I know it's hard when you overhear things and you want to get involved in it, but just lay some of those ground rules out for your employees because you need to give people a sense of privacy and control over that space, and I think that would be helpful.
You can't believe everything Tina Fey says anyway. She was in Date Night, for God's sake.
That's true. Yeah. That was a funny movie.
Yeah, I think it was a good...
Steve Carell had it. Yeah, I think it was funny. All right, we'll be right back with question two after a word from our sponsor.
Are you looking to expand and grow your small business but don't have time to keep up with the latest trends in technology? We've got you covered with the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. Sign up today and start receiving our weekly email chock full of the latest tools and resources to help you run a successful business. Find us at smallbizahead.com.
All right, question two is from Robert from Carmel by the Sea, California. Now, that's a place
beautiful
I'd
town.
Like to live.
Clint Eastwood used to be mayor of Carmel by the Sea.
That just sounds amazing.
Yeah, very nice.
So Robert writes, my tech company has 5 in-house programmers and 2 remote programmers who live on the other side of the country.
Geeks.
I know the remote programmers are getting their work done, but they're not always signed on when I'm signed on, so it's hard to reach them on the fly. Is it fair for me to tell them that they have to work a West Coast schedule, even though they live on the East Coast? If not, what are my options for improving communication? Gene, I'm going to let you just jump
in. Well, yeah, so first of all, I meet many companies that do that. they work on, you know, they have a lot of clients that are on the East Coast and they happen to be in LA. And, you know, one of the downsides of being in LA is that you get started 3 hours after New York gets started. And if you want to work for this company, you got to, you know, there's what the hours are. So for new employees coming in, to tell them that before you take this job, this is the way it's going to be. You're completely within your right to do that, so that, you know, people know, you know, this is what's expected of them. For existing programmers, that's a little bit more tricky because they didn't take the job with that assumption. So you're completely within your right to ask them to see if they can't work out a better schedule, compromise, meet you halfway, maybe start an hour and a half early instead of 3 hours early, something.
Well, this is the opposite. These guys, so the business is on the West Coast. Okay. The programmers are on the East Coast. So they would be starting
later and then later. Working later. Yeah. So, you know, so I same concept though, you know, whereas like, can we adjust and meet what my schedule is? Cause I really need you to be, available, you know, when I'm available. I think as the boss of the company, again, for a new person, it much easier is that there's, you know, there's standards. For existing people, you're going to have to, work along with them to see like, you know, what's going to work out.
What about a shared time where everyone has to be working those certain hours, like an overlap time?
Sure.
And people are expected to be online, be on, you know, chat or link or whatever system you use.
Seems like that would be expected up until the end of the day when, you know, one group goes home while the other group is still working. So, I think that shared time would absolutely be a requirement of all of that. So it's, you know, it's tough to do that. It's funny too, because this is just East Coast, West Coast issues. I mean, like we have developers that work for us from Ukraine. And so that's like a whole big time difference that you're worried about. And they do a lot of development work for us. And it never even entered my mind that I would ask them to work US hours.
Yeah.
Now that doesn't mean that some other people might not have asked people to do that working that late. It would never occur to me. Well, they're like, their time zone is, I think it's 8 hours ahead of us.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, like, if it's, you know.
So, they're finishing their day.
Yeah. Well, if it's like, if it's like 12 o'clock here, it's already 8 o'clock at night, you know, there. And we work around it. You know, we just, you know, there was a few precious hours that were kind of overlapping that, you know, we can get calls done or whatever. Yeah. But for the most part, we're working with them, you know, via email and working things out that way. But it never even entered my mind that I would ask them to say, like, well, you have to change your work hours, you know. So,
I
mean, they're from Ukraine. I mean, it's tough enough being working in the Ukraine. Now we're going to make them work harder hours? Come on.
Yeah. There is a big culture on the West Coast of people that work East Coast hours that get up. They start their day at 5:30 or 6 a.m.
Correct. But I've done TV stuff on the West Coast, you know, like a morning, like a media tour or whatever. You know, they start at 3 a.m. because that's 6 a.m. on the East Coast. And when you do that, everybody is there ready to work because that's, you know, that's the job.
I could not do that.
I know.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Now, for your company, do you set hours for people or do you let people kind of set their own hours?
We have our general business hours are 8 until 5, right? That's what we tell, like, clients. But we rarely or put in a position where you have to tell clients that because everybody is answering emails and communicating all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, that's just sort of the nature of our business. So the only thing that we make a cutoff in our hours, and again, it depends on your business. But if you're in a service business, sometimes people ask you to do stuff on the weekends or after hours at night, like, oh, we're implementing a system. Can you come in on the weekend to do that? Like, I hate that. Like, I have weekends are like precious to me, and I know they're precious to my people as well. So we always, and this is another lesson about pricing, is, you know, I never like to say no to a client. I just like to give them a choice. So our rates on the weekends are triple what they are normally during the week. And I say to my employees, like, you know, if I will ask you beforehand and you're going to get paid triple to come in on the weekend. Do you know what I mean? So if you're okay with that, and if the client's okay with that, good for all of you guys. Go ahead and make money and do your thing on the weekend. But 9 times out of 10, the client's like, that's ridiculous. We'll just do it on Thursday. You know, this is a CRM system, for goodness sake. We'll cope.
And
you're
working with small businesses.
Yeah, they're small companies. Like, so for goodness sake, I mean, everybody, like everybody. And that usually does happen too. People always think they're more important than they are. Like, oh, we can't shut down. You know, we have to do all this on a Sunday. And I'm always like, oh, that's no problem. So that'll be like $500 an hour to do it on Sunday versus, you know, $150 during the week. And then usually they'll be like, well, I guess not that important. We can probably wait until Monday.
Now, would you have an issue with an employee who either lived on the other side of the country or right down the street from you who was like, you know what, I'm just a night person. Like, I'm going to work like 4 to midnight.
Depends on what they're doing. You know what I mean? So if they're client facing,
yeah, that wouldn't work.
Then it wouldn't work. But if they're a developer, and believe me, there, you ever watch Silicon Valley? I mean, you know, I've got a few of those guys working for me. I mean, they're like vampires. So, you know, if you got to do what you got to do, I don't really care if you do it at 2 in the morning from Neptune, as long as you get it done, you know? So that's fine. So it depends on the work that they're doing.
Have you ever had employees travel the world and work for you at the same time?
No, not travel. No, that really has not happened to us.
Because they could.
They could. I've had employees that have traveled. Most of our clients are in the U.S. I've had employees that have traveled for projects.
Yeah.
And they're working on other clients or they're communicating with me while they're traveling. And that's like really, you know, that's pretty common to do. But being in a, like doing work from their yacht in the Mediterranean or whatever, that has not happened.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe someday.
Someday.
Maybe that'll be you, Gene.
Someday.
All right. We will be right back with Gene's Word of Brilliance.
Running a business is challenging, and you probably don't always have the time to research new strategies, market trends, and develop skills. But imagine if you could have all the latest information on running a business delivered to you every week. Luckily, there's the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. We offer some of the best information available for business owners, ranging from topics such as time management, game-changing technology and apps, to developing management and leadership skills. Sign up today for the Small Biz Ahead newsletter at smallbizahead.com.
And we're back with our word of brilliance from Gene.
$1 million. I love doing this and seeing your face. You're like, what the heck is he talking about? What is $1 million? Here is my reason why I'm saying $1 million. It all has to do with expectations and being late. As a business owner, as a professional, as a service provider, as one who is delivering products, I never want to hear from anybody that is doing work for me that they are either too busy or apologize for being late. I hate when people are late. And I feel that in this time when things are so competitive and expectations are so high, I feel that people that are routinely late are incredibly rude.
And, I agree.
And the reason why, and it impacts your business, it impacts your relationship with customers, it impacts your relationship with employees, and you show up to a meeting late.
But you know why people do it, and sorry to interrupt
your
train,
please go ahead.
Is that it's so easy now to just text people and be like, I'm running 20 minutes late.
Yeah, well, that's not, and everybody else has got a schedule that they're trying to keep. They got a meeting to go, they got clients to serve, they got customers to deal with, they got their lives, they got whatever. And when you're late, now I'm extreme. I'm the guy that gets to the airport 3 hours before the flight, you know, and whenever I go to a client, I always, I'm a half an hour early when I go to visit clients, always. And like, okay, so I'm in the parking lot for half an hour. I'll like do emails, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or whatever. And you know, I'll keep myself busy and I'll walk into the office 10 minutes early.
Yeah.
But I'm
never- And he shows up a half an hour for this early for this podcast.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Always, you're never early. You're either on time or you're late. Now, you might ask why I use $1 million as my, you know, the brilliant words of the day. And here's the reason why. I don't believe that being late is something that happens to you. I believe that it is a choice. And the next time that you are going to be late to something, you have to ask yourself, if that person said to me that they would have $1 million in a briefcase waiting for me if I got there on time, would I be there on time? Would I make every effort to make sure that I was there on time? The answer, 99% of the time, is going to be yes.
Yeah.
So whenever somebody says like, oh, I'm so sorry, I fell behind, I was late, this happened, that happened, whatever, the response in your mind should be like, you know what? If I told that guy, I'd give him $1 million if he was going to be here on time, do you think he would have found a way to be on time?
Yeah.
It's always going to be yes. So it's not circumstances. It is choice when people are late.
Yeah.
And if you have customers that are routinely late for you, that gives you an idea how you fall.
yeah.
in their eyes. And if you're routinely late to a customer, that's going to quickly give that customer an idea of how important they are to you.
Yeah.
So don't be late. Do what you say you're going to do.
Don't be late.
Use that $1 million test.
Now, what are your tactics for always making sure you get places on time?
I always plan out where I'm going. I always yeah. know where I'm going to be like a couple days in advance. I really am thinking what my calendar is going to be. And I always take that extra step to be that much
backwards.
Earlier.
Like, I know how long everything's going to, like, brushing my teeth, like, everything. I have it down to a science.
Yeah, and then, you know, again, we live in an age with smartphones and laptops and tablets. So if you are early, then work. Some are go to a Starbucks or go something, okay, do something, and then, but just be on time because you have to be respectful of other people's schedules.
I agree. All right, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Jean for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.